Think, and I'm going to invite you to think, if you were king, and if you were king, what would you do? Now, to help us do that, I wonder if we could have some people who would actually be king, and I think it'd be awesome if we had a father-son thing going on. So I wonder if Darren and Jacob, if you would come and be kings for us, because that'd be awesome, right? You can come up here. I've got some thrones for you. There we go. Now, I'm not looking for the right answer, because there isn't such a thing as a right answer in this. It's what you would do if you were king, and I'm also going to ask the congregation. So for each scenario, we'll have a little referendum going on, see what they would do. And on each one, there's an A, B, C. There's a D, which is an other. And if you choose other, you have to say what that other would be. So then just use it as a cop-out, because you'd have to come up with something. And for each of you pairs, for one of the scenarios, if you're really stuck, you can ask for congregation. Okay? You got that? Right, so I wonder, Paul, if you could sort of score for me. Well, not score, but write up what they do. So let's see, we'll have... And we'll ask the congregation in each one. So we'll do Cong... There we got... And Jacob, Gabriel, and Chris. Okay. Right, get your needs glasses. Okay, so here we go. Scenario one will come up on screen. If you were king and you were told that a vast army is coming against you and your people, would you A, gear up for war, B, take yourself off to some safe place, C, call your people to pray and fast and ask God for help, or D, other, you've got to come up with something else. So have a little confer. You can talk to your neighbours. Okay, which would you do? Okay. Right, okay. There we go. Got to be quick. Right, so Gabriel and Chris, what are you going to go for?
Well, we'll go because we are in a church, obviously we'll go for C.
Right.
Out of the church, we will use D.
And you've got to go for one, right? You're going to go for C or D?
Well, we are in a church.
C. So Gabriel and Chris, next column, that's it, C. What would you do? Sit down there, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Well, we had a little conflab, and I said,
yep.
Jacob said, well, I think it should be C, so we really should pray, I guess, before we gear up. But because we've got to pick one, we're going to gear up for war.
Okay, gear up for war. Yep, right, good. A. Okay, hands up in the congregation. Who would do A, gear up for war? Okay, a few people. Who would do B, take yourself off to some safe place? One person, very good. Who would call your people to pray and fast, ask God for help? Okay, a few there. And anyone would do anything else, other? So what would you do?
I think you need to C and A.
C and A at the same time. Well, that's not an option, I'm afraid. Right, okay. Right. So It was the majority on A. Okay, we'll move on to the next scenario. So now two. If you were king and you've just been making, you've got lots of brothers who all look big and strong, would you A, kill off all your brothers? B, would you make sure your brothers had plenty of gold and luxuries? C, would you work with your brothers and respect that some are different, the others got different gifts and all that good stuff? Or D, other? Okay, have a quick think. New scenario. Move on. Okay, so what are you going to go for?
Well, we're actually going to go for D this time. And what we've decided to do is with all of our big, strong brothers, we're going to stick them in the front line before we go off to war.
Okay, right. Yeah, D, train them up for war. I like that. Okay, what would you guys do?
We're saying B, keep them happy.
B, keep them happy, plenty of gold and stuff. Okay, right, let's have a little poll. So amongst the rest of you, would you A, kill off your brothers?
No.
No, okay. B, make sure they have plenty of gold. One, two, do that. Okay, C, work with your brothers. Okay. Or D, other. Oh, a couple of others there. Dennis, what would that be? Bodyguards, very good. Right, okay. I think the majority was C. Right, okay, scenario three then. Next scenario, moving on. Okay, so if you were king and looking to get married, would you, A, actually not get married at all, prefer to say single, perfectly okay, B, marry the daughter of the neighbouring king in the neighbouring kingdom, that's great for peace alliances, plus, I'm sure she looks very beautiful. C, look for the girl you fall in love with who also seems to share the same values and aspirations that you do. Or D, other. Okay, quick think. We're gonna go for... Okay, have we decided Team Heifer here?
We have decided. We were going to go with B because you did add in there that she was beautiful.
Right.
So I thought that pretty much had everything covered. But I think as it's not up there, we're going to go for C.
C. Okay. Right. Look for the girl you fall in love with, has the same values. Okay. What about you guys?
I think if it was set back in those times, we would have said B, but because we're going to interpret it as this, we're going to say C.
C, okay, C, thank you. Okay, quick poll then. A. Okay, right, interesting that some people who are married put their hand up there. Right, right. B, married a daughter of a neighbouring king. Yeah, okay. And C, look for the girl you fall in love with. And D, other. Okay, interesting. There's no others off for that one. Right, good, thank you. So, scenario four. Right, now, this one's a bit different. Not if you were king, but if you were the king's daughter. Now, your dad, the king, dies, and then your brother gets made king, but he gets killed pretty quickly, and there are people trying to kill off all his brothers and his children as well. In that scenario, would you A, run away and hide, B, hide one of the sons of your brother, praying and waiting for a moment when he can be made king, C, ignore the whole thing, let the idiots sort themselves out, or D, other? Okay, have a quick think. King's daughter on this one. It's a bit harder, this one. Okay, 30 seconds left to decide. Okay, so what are you going to go for?
D.
D? What would you do in D?
D.
we're kind of combining A and B. We're gonna run away, but also take our brother's son with us.
Oh, okay, right, okay, right, fair enough. Yep, all right. So good. Right.
We had a similar thought actually. We're going to go for D, and we thought that maybe we've still got some kind of clout and some power, being the king's daughter. So we're going to surround ourselves by some of the guards that we hope will remain loyal and protect one of the brother's sons.
Okay, cool, right, that's very good. So, amongst all of us here, who would go for A, run away and hide? Okay, what about B, hide one of your brother's sons, wait for the right moment, okay. C, ignore the whole thing, yeah, let them sort themselves out. Okay, D, other, right, oh, okay, Leslie, what would you do? Right.
And second of all, I would equip myself with a knife that's been cast.
You would put yourself?
Equip yourself with a knife that's been
cast. Oh, right. Pray and keep a knife on you. Okay, that's good. Right. Yeah, very good. Right. So, sorry, Rachel.
I was just wondering why I couldn't put myself forward to be queen.
Well. Well, I will unfold these scenarios later and we'll see how that might have worked out. Right, so scenario 5, very good. If you were king and you had to go to war against an enemy, so another war thing going on, and you found that you could round up a pretty decent-sized army, but perhaps not quite as big as you like, would you A, just use the troops that you can round up, your own troops, B, hire in extra troops from a neighbouring land, or C, hire in extra troops, but when a prophet of God comes and tells you, no, don't do that, send them back, or D, something else? Okay, I have a little thing. Okay. Right. Okay. So, what are you going to go for?
We think the right answer here is probably C, but that would mean a lot of faith that you had in the prophet, and I think we are going to go for B here, because I think we would think, oh, hang on, really? Do we want to get rid of all of these extra thousands of troops?
Yeah, hiring them in. Yeah, you got the money for it, hire them in, that's good, excellent.
We'll go with D, and we'll try B and C, but when the prophet says something, we'll say it's a false prophet, so we don't have to listen to him.
Okay, right, very good. So D, you're going to hire in the extra troops. When the prophet comes along, you're not going to listen to the prophet. Interesting. Right, we'll come back to that answer. Okay, so let's hands up everyone for A in the congregation. Okay. B, hire in the extra troops. Yeah, if you would do that. Yeah. C, hire in the extra troops, but listen to the prophet. And D, other. So, John. Very good, thank you. Karen?
I'm wondering why I have to let the prophet tell me what God says, so I'm going to have to pray.
Okay, and Clive?
I'm hiring the extra troops, get them started, and then run away and hide.
Okay, right, send the hired troops in, right, okay, and then, just let them get on with it, right. Right, yeah. Well, but another day, Margaret, another day. Right. Okay, so what we're going to do now is, so what was the majority on that one? It was, I think it was B. Right. Okay, right. So let's go back through those scenarios. Okay, so next slide, please, Ollie. Back to scenario one. This was actually Jehoshaphat in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. And he had a vast army coming against him, and that army, it was a conglomerate of other nations, and they were coming against the land of Judah. And he called a prayer meeting. He called an all-age prayer meeting, men, women, and children, and they called on God for help. And a prophet of God came and said, "The battle is not yours, it's God's, so don't worry. Yes, you'll have to go and face the enemy, you will have to go into battle, but I will sort it." And you know what happened? They went into battle with all their spears and stuff and whatever they had, but they went rejoicing. They went singing choruses. And the enemy turned in against themselves and basically killed themselves off. So they never actually had to do any fighting. So that's what happened. It was C was what happened, and God sourced it. Because the battle is God's, not theirs. So God did the fighting for them. Okay, the next scenario, scenario two. So this is the chap called Jehoram. His father was Jehoshaphat, so the guy we just heard about. And King Jehoshaphat had given his sons loads of gold and silver. He'd even assigned cities, so like, you son, deal with that city, you look after that city, and so on. But then, of course, he died, and Jehoram took over, and the first thing he did was put all his brothers to death. Now, in that day, that's actually quite often what people did, because they couldn't stand the thought of any threat to their kingship. And their answer to that was to kill everyone off who might be a threat. So this is what Jehoram did. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying that's what he did. But actually, I mean, I've never watched Game of Thrones. Does that kind of thing happen in Game of Thrones? Who watches Game of Thrones? I don't know. But it doesn't turn out well for Jehoram. He's not that great a king. And you know the armies in the last scenario who got defeated because they killed themselves off? Well, guess what? In Jehoram's day, they come back and start attacking Judah and having victory. And eventually, this chap called Jehoram, he gets ill and he gets this hideous bowel disease, and his bottom drops out, and he dies of this hideous bowel disease. So read all about it in chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles. Right, let's move on to scenario 3. So Jehoram again, so while he's still alive, before he's got the whole bowel thing going on, right, he was looking to get married, and he chose to marry a daughter of King Ahab of Israel. Israel was just next door. I should explain, we'll get to this in a few weeks, but the kingdom of Israel split into two, Israel and Judah. We're following the Judah kings in Chronicles. But he thought it'd be great for an alliance, great to get together and buddy up. I'm sure she was very beautiful as well. And the trouble is, King Ahab was totally off the rails. He'd totally gone against God, and his whole family had totally gone against God. And so his daughter was an ungodly influence on Jehoram and led him astray. It was not a good scenario. Okay, we'll move on now to scenario 4. Now, this is chapter 22 and 23. It gets complicated. So, listen carefully. Jehoram had a son, Ahaziah, and a daughter, Jehosheba. Now, the mother of Ahaziah was called Athaliah. And Jehoram dies. He has the bowel disease thing, right? His son Ahaziah is made king, but he wasn't a good king, and he gets killed off within 1 year of being king. And then Ahaziah's mother, that's Athaliah, remember? She goes berserk and starts killing everyone in the royal family. So killing all Ahaziah's brothers, trying to kill all his sons, because she basically wants to take over and be sole in charge queen. That's an interesting, just remembering Rachel's bid there from a few. But she does her queenship by basically trying to kill everyone off. But Jehosheba hid her nephew, the son of Ahaziah. So that's Jehoram's grandson, and hides the baby away. She's married to a priest. I can't remember his name. Oh, here we go. He's married to a priest called Jehoiada, and they hide the baby away for 7 years. So when he's 7 years old, so let's think, no, is that like Peggy's age? Yeah. So when he's Peggy's age, you bring him out and they declare him as king. Now you can imagine that Athaliah, she's not too happy about that. She cries out treachery, but the people turn on her and kill her off straight away. Happy families. In 2 Chronicles, read all about it there. Okay. So, last scenario, scenario number 5. So, this is a chap called Amaziah, not to be confused with Ahaziah, who we heard about a couple of chapters ago. Now we're in chapter 25, and he was the son of Joash, the baby who had been hid away and all that stuff. And Amaziah was great at organizing. He got his people organized and he got his army organized. 300,000 troops with generals, commanders, and all that good stuff. But 300,000 troops, you know, you think, oh, I'd like a bit more. So he hires in 100,000 extra troops from neighboring Israel to join Judah's army, and they go off to fight. But a prophet of God comes and says, we don't want these extra troops. They're not truly people who are following after God's heart. Send them home because they are not going to help you. And Amaziah listens. And at first he's a bit upset. But he sends them back. And only his troops go into battle and they have victory. So, let's see how we did. What does this all mean there? Right, oh, the crosses and the ticks. Right, so we got out of all that lot, so 5 scenarios, 3 types of people, 15, only 2 ticks out of that. But that's all right because it was your answers, not necessarily what actually happened. Okay, you can go and sit down now. Thank you very much. You made very good kings. So you can leave the chairs. Thank you. I thought it'd be good to draw out principles from those 5 scenarios, because you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not going to become king. You might be sitting there thinking, I don't even want to become prime minister, right? But the reality is that we all face scenarios in our lives. We all have to make choices about what we are going to do when we face situations. We will all face conflicts and difficulties and crunch times where we have to decide what we're going to do. So you might not have 300,000 troops to command, but you are going to have to make life decisions. So here's some principles. Next slide, please, Ollie. 5 principles. So, going back to Jehoshaphat in chapter 20, faced with those crushing enemies, the vast army, he got everyone to call on God. God listened, God fought for them and helped them. Remember these principles. Seek God in the face of battles or difficulties. Seek God. As soon as you're faced with some kind of conflict or whatever, try and get God's view on it. And remember that the kind of battles and difficulties we are in as a church, as Christians, as people trying to follow Jesus, they are spiritual. They might present themselves as an awkward person. They might present themselves as actual people trying to do nasty physical things to us. But the real battle is spiritual. So seek God first. Okay, the second principle, do not establish yourself on bloodshed. Remember the king, he killed off all his brothers. Don't do that, right? But in our lives, okay, hopefully you're not going to be killing people off. But I would put it like this. Don't establish yourself and what you're trying to do by crushing other people. Don't crush people, even if they hold a radically different view to you, even if they outright oppose you. Do not establish what you're doing simply by crushing others. Remember, let God fight for you. The battle is in the spiritual. Okay, number three, that's Jehoram again with Ahab and marrying Ahab's daughter. So seek alignments in your values with your closest relationships or partnerships. So our young people in the room, when you think who you might fall in love with or marry, absolute top tip, look for the value match. Look for the value match in that, okay? Subtle, takes time to work out, but that's what you need to be looking for. But all of us, we form relationships, partnerships, maybe as a church, we partner with other organizations. Look for the value match. The closer the relationship, the higher the value match you need. Okay, scenario number four. So this was Joash hidden away as a baby. Now this one's a bit more subtle. Quietly hold on and hold out for what is right. Quietly hold on to what is right. Quietly hold out for what is right. But to do that, now hear me carefully here, to do that, you might need to be, in some circumstances, quietly subversive. Okay? Now, when I say quietly subversive, please hear me carefully. I'm not saying that we should always be subversive and awkward in every situation. No. But when it's a matter of holding out for what is right in the face of blatant meltdown and stuff being done wrong by others, learn what it means as a follower of Jesus to be quietly subversive. Quietly holding out and arranging for what is right. But there may come a day when, just like Jehosheba and her husband, they had to go public. There may come a day when you then have to go public with what you are saying in the face of the opposition. Okay. So, finally, scenario five. So, Amaziah, yeah, he's built up his big army. And he thought, well, I could hire in some more. But a prophet of God says to him, no, don't do that. Send them home. And he did, actually. He followed that advice. Now, as we read 2 Chronicles, someone, I think, said, I won't single them out, can't quite remember who it was anyway. Someone said, actually, I wouldn't listen to the prophet. There are examples of that in 2 Chronicles. There are examples of kings hearing clearly from a prophet and then doing the opposite. Plot spoiler, it doesn't go well. So, for this one, the principle I would draw out is do not rely on hired hands to be the ones to further God's business. Don't rely on hired hands, people drafted in who don't truly, at their core, have the purposes of God at heart. Now, I say that carefully because as a church, as Food Bank and our other organisations, we have loads of partnerships and we partner with secular organisations, we work with all kinds of other organisations who do not share our values of following Jesus, but we are able to work with them. But I have this crown jewels principle. You can work in a partnership with another organization that doesn't share your values as far as it goes to a certain point. But you do not hand over the crown jewels to that organization. You work out what the crown jewels are, our faith and our absolute declaration as Jesus is Lord, and you make sure you keep that and keep that preserved. So, seek God's help in the face of battles and difficulties. Let's do that right now, because sadly, we are in a global situation where there is the threat of hideous war. So let's just pause and pray. Maybe two or three would like to just call out and pray for peace in our world as we think about Ukraine and Russia in the news right now.